What will be the biggest events for our region in 2019? There's a lot to talk about with a new governor, continuing changes to Sacramento's downtown area, and issues like homelessness and mental health. Columnist Marcos Bretón from the Sacramento Bee joins us to share his thoughts next on Studio Sacramento.
At Five Star Bank, we create thoughtful solutions to help the capital region thrive, from economic development and education to public health and safety, issues that are vitally important to Sacramento's prosperity. We're proud to be part of the conversation and hope you'll join in.
The death of Stephon Clark, the Paradise Fires, issues like homelessness really dominated the headlines in 2018. What do you think is going to capture our attention and dominate our conversations in 2019?
Well, in Sacramento, I think we're at the point where the rubber hits the road on the homeless situation, where you have a very ambitious mayor who pledged to the voters that we would begin to see a noticeable difference in terms of the number of people on the streets. I don't think we're there yet. The issue of criminal justice in local law enforcement is going to be big again this year because of changes in the law that now require agencies to release videos of deadly shootings. And where I work, we're a Public Records Act request machine right now. We're at a tipping point in Sacramento where we're tipping closer to what kind of city we're going to be. And what I fear is that we may end up becoming a city where our children can't afford to live. Those are just a few of things that are happening here in our region. And it's an exciting time, but there's a lot of uncertainty as well.
It sounds almost like 2019 in many ways will be the unfinished business of 2018.
There is unfinished business, and you know, the sample size is big enough to realize that that some of these issues need to be finished and some of the promises that have been made need to be realized. I don't know, however, if, for example, if the promise that Mayor Steinberg made about a noticeable difference, of noticing a noticeable drop in the number of homeless people that we see on the streets every day, whether that is a soundbite that sounds great at election time or whether it's really realistic. Because if you pull the camera back further, Sacramento is just one of many cities on the West Coast impacted by homelessness. We're not even on the worst of that scale. And I don't know whether we've really gotten our arms around some of the core drivers of having people on the street.
It's interesting, though, that you led with homelessness. And the reason is that there's a conversation that I've been privy to that increasingly a number of people are concerned that homelessness is such a pervasive and dominant issue that it's crowding out discussions on what the future of the city is going to be. How do you respond to that?
Well, so as a member of the media, I accept my share of the blame for that because the issue involves, you know, human suffering in plain sight. It involves public safety. It involves public health, and there is a component to it where I don't think that we fully understand that this isn't homelessness as we knew it at a different time in our country's history. This is homelessness that involves substance abuse. It involves mental health, and we're still on the mental health front. We're still having the conversation about whether it's a stigma or not. it shouldn't be a stigma, but the fact that we're still talking about the fact that it is a stigma for some people, I think gets in our way of fully understanding. I also feel that Sacramento is an interesting city in that some of the loudest voices on the homeless issue are people who are very well-heeled themselves.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, and they don't live anywhere near it themselves, but they are only too happy to suggest where homeless shelters should be next to somebody else's property. And so there's a level of hypocrisy that goes along with it. And it's become a bit like discussing religion or politics in that you very easily could be called somebody who hates homeless people if all you do is simply ask a question. Ask a question. So this is an issue that should not expect that compassion should be at the center of it. We all feel compassion, I believe. I don't know of anybody who thinks, who disparages people or doesn't hurt when you see a homeless person on the street. But this issue requires truthfulness and analysis and also a healthy sense of humility to admit that previous efforts to end homelessness were ridiculous.
You did not put in the word, though, collaboration, because from the reporting that the Bee has done and others have done, it seems like in addition to all of those conditions that you just raised, the major one that's lacking is collaboration. Because it really does, in this case, if not taking a village, it takes all of the entities working together.
Well, because there's no consensus on how to handle it, and then you have large entities who take different approaches. For example, the largest homeless charity is Loaves and Fishes. Loaves and Fishes is a sacred cow, Sacramento. Can't say anything about Loaves and Fishes because you're going to have a big problem. And Loaves and Fishes deals with homelessness in a way that some people feel is outdated and ineffective. And there are other groups that hold big fundraisers, lavish fundraisers every year, who are in the business of warehousing people. And I think that there's a realization now that just simply creating housing in and of itself is not going to solve the issue, because then you have folks who, the reason they are in this state is that they cannot cope with many things, including being in housing. So when you talked about collaboration, the city and the county are collaborating, largely engineered by Mayor Daryl Steinberg, to collaborate and try to bring a lot of homeless people under one tent. And hundreds of millions of dollars are being committed to it. I haven't noticed the difference. Have you? I haven't.
When you talk about homelessness, again, to come back to where the concern is, a couple of years ago, you and I got together and we talked about some of the momentum that was generated because of Saving the Kings and the building of the arena,
right,
and this can-do spirit within the Sacramento region, that we could get things done and aspire to be more. Mm-hmm. And do you perceive that conversation has somewhat gotten lost?
So it a little bit, yes, in a sense it has, because it is not as sexy or is not as dramatic as, say, like a homeless issue. But there are signs that the momentum is continuing, and property values have gone up in the downtown core. I went to a Kings game recently, and it is now, in what used to be a dead mall, an area where I would feel great about bringing my out-of-town guests to take in a game, have a meal at any number of places, not just one, but several, or go to other places that are walking distance where it feels safer now to walk. Centene, the medical insurer, is expanding its footprint And that was a win.
That's 2,000 jobs.
2,000 jobs. And Aggie Square in UC Davis is coming across the causeway. And that's moving forward. That's going to happen. And so the hope is...
Marcos, I have to say, you sound more like a booster.
Well, I am a booster. I am a booster because in November of 2019 will make 30 years that I have lived in Sacramento. And if someone had told me when I was still in my 20s in 1989 that I would still be here 30 years later, I would have laughed. Because I visited here maybe once before, and I had the Bay Area bias because I grew up in the Bay Area about Sacramento. And then you come here, and in my case, I fell in love with the city and the place where I work. And I've always felt like Sacramento is a place where one person can make a difference and where we all feel connected. Those are beautiful things.
Let's talk about that one person. Who do you think is going to be the breakout personality of 2019?
You know, that's a really good question. The breakout personality. I think that it's going to be probably someone from your world and not mine. A young person, young people who are entrepreneurs now, and who don't have the baggage that my generation had, and who are hopeful. And I have a lot of hope in my business, people tend to denigrate the millennial generation. I find them inspiring and hopeful. And I think that there are a lot of young people in Sacramento who are going to emerge in 2019 and beyond, and continue to push us forward. And that's a sign of a healthy community. The Daryl Steinbergs and people like that, they've had their time and they've done great things, but we're at the precipice where it's time for a generational shift, and I look forward to that.
We just had a generational shift at the state capitol with the retirement of Jerry Brown and the ascension of Governor Gavin Newsom. What do you think we can expect from Newsom?
So it's an interesting question because the short answer is I have no idea, because this gentleman has been kind of sitting on his hands for the last 8 years. And when he was the mayor of San Francisco before that, didn't always go really well. He had substance abuse issues. He had personal issues. He was a bit of an immigration hawk when he first started. And he took flak for that. And even some of the famous gestures that he was behind, for example, opening up City Hall so that we could have marriage equality, at least in that moment in time, it was taken away temporarily. And there were people in the gay community who did criticize him for substituting responsible policy for a publicity stunt. So the question in my mind for the new governor is he more than a carefully crafted publicity stunt, as we've seen in the past?
You have been critical of him in the past. And in his inauguration, you saw something that gave you a window into a different perspective.
So,
tell us about that.
So it got widely reported when his 2-year-old son, Dutch, went up on the stage and was acting like children do, and any of us who've had children have endured that moment of terror when we're in the middle of something important, particularly in front of a group of people, and our kids are being kids. And I felt that the way he handled it and the way he interacted with his son and the way his son responded to him in a way that was not rehearsed, not crafted, not picked apart by all the political consultants around him. I learned more about Gavin Newsom in those few minutes than I have in the past 10 years. And it was...
And what did it tell you?
Well, it told me that beyond the pampered pretty boy who really has been protected by some of the richest people in California, that there is a decent person in there. And you can build on that. You can build on that. And, you know, we haven't seen little kids at the Capitol in a very long time. And in previous governors we've had, their kids seem more like props than anything else. And it was heartening to see an unscripted moment where a politician behaved like a decent human being. You know, that I think we should celebrate that. And even someone like me, who I think I wrote the most withering criticism of the now governor during the campaign, had to take a step back and look within myself and to see him in a different way, and in a way that hopefully he will realize some of the hope that people are projecting onto him.
And Governor Newsom isn't the only new face. We actually have a Sacramentan who's moved up to the state level, Eleni Kounalakis Sakopoulos, mm-hmm. Daughter of real estate developer Angelo Sakopoulos. Mm-hmm. And so any sense for what, given that Gavin Newsom just left that role and she's come into it, any sense of what her contribution or focus might be?
Well, she's the first woman in that role, which is significant. She's a Sacramentan. She was raised here and lived in the Bay Area for some time now, but is from here. So those are significant things, particularly for us here.
Especially losing Daryl Steinberg and Dave Jones,
yes,
at the state level,
yes,
in the last few years.
Yes. And so, to answer that question on the local front, the hope is that Sacramento fares better as the capital city when we always haven't in the past. And we've sort of cornered the market on functionally ugly buildings that the state has, you know, built for us. And that hopefully she will at times use her voice to advocate for her hometown. But also she has the opportunity as, you know, the most visible woman in state politics now to really redefine the role of lieutenant governor, if she does it successfully, to position herself to succeed the current governor. It's the path that he took, and she is a very smart person, very poised, and obviously from a very wealthy family, and her public persona has been someone who's very warm and engaging. If she can tap into that, she could become a visible player in California like we haven't seen. And it's going to take a lot of skill and a lot of hard work, but the possibility is there for her.
When you think about all of the issues that are facing the region, and you spoke to a number of them a few moments ago, what do you believe is the sleeper issue that no one is talking about at this point that potentially will emerge and, or should emerge and capture our attention this year?
Well, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's obvious, but the sleeper issue that needs to emerge is in a more meaningful way is the understanding and the support for Sacramento as a place to invest. We don't have enough money. We have Bay Area tastes and we have empty pockets. we complain about raising our taxes, but we have no other way to raise money to do anything. Daryl Steinberg understood that, which is why he got Measure U to pass.
Did that shock you that actually passed?
No, because I believe that particularly when it comes to those sorts of things, we complain a lot in Sacramento about taxes, about services, the cost of services, but we want things. We want things. We didn't want a city that was going to be gutted if we didn't pass this. And so the phrase that I kept hearing over and over again was, yeah, I held my nose and I voted for it. But my point in that is that there's nothing wrong with that, in cities that invest in themselves are healthy cities. We want to create a city where our children don't want to leave, where they have opportunities to stay.
That Measure U passing, though, was an interesting victory in that the smart people, you know, the prognosticators, all said it was going to go down in flames.
Yeah.
And when it passed, huge victory for the mayor, but it shocked a lot of people. And do you perceive that other local municipalities are going to start to ride the wave because now the thing that couldn't be done has now been done by somebody else.
Yeah, so I think some of those prognosticators probably didn't live in the city of Sacramento, which is a quirky thing that we have, that a lot of times some of the louder, more influential voices speaking for Sacramento do business in Sacramento but don't live there. And I think that they missed a characteristic of the city, in that I think that people care about their community, and there are a lot of people here who are involved in government, well-read, and know what they're talking about, and realized a means to an end. And even though they badmouthed it all the way to the ballot box and then voted yes, that's what I did. That's exactly what I did. Because I was, as much as I didn't like having to raise taxes to do it, I was more afraid of what wouldn't happen if we didn't do it. So bringing it back to that we need to engage with the business community in a more meaningful way, and make it so people want to come and invest in Sacramento, to lift our tax base, and hopefully to bring employers who are socially minded, who would also take up the mantle of, well, I'm going to do this piece to help the homeless, or I'm going to do this piece to mentor young people from Oak Park and North Sacramento and South Sacramento, and it takes conscientious people like
but
that.
But let me give you the flip side. If we have all this investment you're talking about, it's not an unalloyed good from the standpoint that investment and new people also bring larger scale problems to the ones we're facing right now. For instance, housing. I can tell you that I worry that my children will not be able to pursue the typical long-term Sacramento dream, which is that if you went to work in a professional or a working class trade job, you could afford to buy your own home.
Well, you did say a mouthful there, and so that's where we're at the top of our conversation. I talked about, so we're sort of at that tipping point. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to go the way of the Bay Area, where we see proud, established ethnic communities become gentrified?
So, like Oak Park.
Well, certainly like a tip of Oak Park, and I've seen the downside to it, and having coffee with a source right there at the gateway to Oak Park, and a fancy new business opening up, and someone bringing a rock in broad daylight, putting a rock right through the window, shattering it, and then police descending on the area. That's not good. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's up to our leaders. It's up to us to put a big emphasis on building housing. You would know far more about that than I would, but one of the promises of Measure U was that there would be seed money to sort of fill the gaps to make more of these projects pencil in the future. I don't know whether you believe that or not. I'd like to believe that's something that could happen.
Time will tell. I wanted to ask you about one of the stories that you did report on in 2018, and want to know if you're going to do anything with it in 2019. And that is, you got a lot of national coverage on your position on the ownership of the Giants and their political contribution.
Yes.
To candidates that were identified in some people's minds as racist.
Right.
You said you weren't going to cover the Giants, and I think maybe not spend any money with them. What happens in 2019?
So it's interesting because some of the advocates in the Bay Area, they called a boycott and then they called it off the next day. I wasn't willing to go there, so I waited until December 27th when the federal election financials were made public, and then I saw that Sidney Hyde Smith, the U.S. senator from Mississippi, who has spent her entire legislative career venerating the Confederacy, that she returned the money to Charles Johnson, the principal owner of the Giants. And so, with money returned and with him apologizing and pledging not to do this sort of thing again, I thought, I feel like I can now spend my money at a Giants game if I wanted to because a point was made. And some would say, well, you're being politically correct. To me, when someone tells me that I'm being politically correct, it's because they're saying, I don't like the fact that you're showing me that something that I enjoy is tinged by racism. Well, in this case, you had the principal owner of the Giants who was supporting an outright racist. And I don't care. There's nothing that anyone has said to me to convince me otherwise. When you spend your whole career venerating the Confederacy, and when you make you make jokes openly about public lynchings, and when you talk about voter suppression, when we know voter suppression has happened in the South historically and in the last election, that's not funny in any way, shape, or form. And so Mr. Johnson had the constitutional right to fund this candidate, and I had the right, but he didn't have the constitutional right to my money.
And we're going to leave it there.
Great to be with you.
Marcos Bertone, Sacramento Bee, column Sunday and...
And every other day.
And every other day. Read it. And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
At Five Star Bank, we create thoughtful solutions to help the Capital Region thrive, from economic development and education to public health and safety, issues that are vitally important to Sacramento's prosperity. We're proud to be part of the conversation and hope you'll join in.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.